Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
The internet can be your window to the world, or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.
Scanning. Control. Manipulate scientific data. Take over. Blast. Control. World government. Shut down infrastructure. Ship everything to China. Just look at this person.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV. They're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome back, folks. This is another episode of Turtle Treasure, and this time we've got a bit of a shorter show because we're going to try to release these in faster intervals than basically being a monthly roundup podcast. It's going to be weekly or bi-weekly. So this week we have Braveland, which is a trilogy of games that are strategy games originally on mobile that are on the Nintendo Switch now. We've also got the Caligula Effect Overdose Edition, which is a brand new remastered title that was originally on the Vita that is now available on the PS4 and Switch. We've also got a couple movies that were sent to us from our friends at VVS Films. And we've got a few other surprises throughout. So it's been, I guess, a couple weeks or so since I did the last one of these shows. And the weather's, again, still a little wonky, but it's starting to get a little better in that we've got, plus 8 degrees Celsius here right now, and it's melting, and I'm hoping it doesn't turn into freezing rain or anything crazy again. But so far, it looks like the next few days are going to be pretty decent, and I wanted to make sure that I get as many of these reviews out now so that I can then go enjoy the good, I'm saying in quotes, weather. It would be very nice to, you know, actually be out and about. But what's new with me right now? I picked up an Xbox One X. I did some trading for it. As I mentioned on the previous Twig show, I had a... Here's my conundrum. I was someone who bought a PS4 Pro years ago in the hopes that it had a 4K Blu-ray player, because they didn't really talk about it, but I was like, well, why not? Why wouldn't it? If the the Xbox One S has one, the more expensive PS4 option, especially since Sony made the 4K players, should have it. Well, it didn't. So I was like, well, shit. So I started getting reviews. That wasn't a big deal until recently when I started getting 4K Blu-ray reviews. I'm like, well, I've got to be able to review them somehow. So I had picked up a Samsung 4K Ultra HD player, which is, roughly $200 range or so, which is not bad considering it's a high-end player. And I reviewed a couple things, and then I went, wait a minute. So the Xbox One X and S have them. I wonder if I could do some wheeling and dealing and see if I could get myself like an X, because I thought, okay, we're probably nearing the end of the console life cycles here, or at least when they're ready to start launching the new ones. And I would like to have something really good right now so I can get the best out of the systems I can possibly get, and then have something that's going to be worth value when it comes time to trade in towards whatever next generation is going to be. And I figured, okay, getting the X is a good deal. And I was like, well, maybe I'll just get a used one. I saw somebody that was offering on Kijiji a trade. They wanted to trade an Xbox One X for a PS4 Pro. And I thought, okay, well, my Pro is like 3 years old, but or almost 3 years old. And I was one of the guys that paid the extra money to get the PS4 protection plan, but not through like GameStop or anybody. It was through Sony themselves when they offered that. They don't do it anymore. But it was like $100 for a 3-year extended plan that covered all hardware and accidental coverage. Like, even if I dropped it or spilled something on it, it was actually a crazy deal. And that's good until October. So I thought, okay, that's actually pretty good leverage. Well, the guy flaked out, because I thought, okay, I'll trade the PS4 Pro, and then, you know, trade it, and then maybe gather some cash together and pick up a used PS4 original or used Slim. Because I thought that way I can still play games on PS4, all the exclusives, and especially for review copies. And then I would have the Xbox One X, which allowed me to do a lot of my movie reviews, as well as now I could get back into actual Xbox gaming reviews. So it wouldn't have to be just Michael and Tristan doing that. So I thought, okay, well, that didn't work out. And then I saw that there was already a deal where the systems were down new at EB Games from $599 to $519. And I was like, okay, that's not bad, but it's still out of my price range as far as buying. And then I saw that they had the Fallout 76 bundle. Now, that's a game that, you know, if you've been listening to us, I've been talking about how much, even when I saw the trailer last year, I was like, this is going to be terrible. And it ended up being just a hot bowl of garbage. Well, they've got that system that nobody wanted the bundle. So they had so many of them that they marked it down to $460-ish. So we're talking down from $599. I'm like, okay, it's like $140 cheaper than normal. And I was like, okay, well, if I do some trades and I sell some stuff. So I ended up selling my Wii U that I had that was modded with like a 3 terabyte hard drive, as well as my 4K Blu-ray player and Mario Odyssey, which I'm completely done with. I've done everything. I'm not going to beat that final crazy hard level. I don't care. But, you know, you can still get $50 for that because it's a Mario game and they don't lose their value that much. And, you know, there's always people buying new systems, or they, you know, want an extra copy or something, and they don't want to spend the $80 new. So, and they don't want to go to, you know, EB Games and, you know, pay, I don't know, $69 for a used copy. Well, they can get it from me for $50. So adding it all up together, you know, I ended up putting it on the credit card, and I was like, okay, you know, as long as I sell this stuff, I'll almost break away even. It's going to end up costing me probably about $50 to, you know, extra out of pocket to go with the One X. But I've already found that it's dramatically different than when I had an Xbox One and then an S about a year ago or so. It's just so much faster and it's quiet as hell. Like, the PS4 Pro is so loud. And I mean, and I've had it cleaned and I make sure it's maintained well and everything. It's well ventilated, but even playing, like, I had to put games to 1080p on there, and it still just makes a rocket taking off. So it's just a limitation of technology with the X being, you know, even more powerful and everything, but it's a lot newer. It's a couple years newer, I believe. It's the design is just, it's basically silent, and I've been playing The Division 2, got a review copy from our friends at Ubisoft, and, you know, lo and behold, they sent me a Xbox One copy. And I was like, oh, I had just gotten Xbox One. So that ended up being perfect. So I'm playing that probably in the best I possibly could, because I'm not a guy with like a $2,000 gaming PC to, you know, play it on max settings on there or anything. So I do get to play the game right now in true 4K. My TV is not full HDR. It says it's HDR, but Toshiba did a little boo-boo and they basically lied and said that it's a true HDR, but it's an HDR mode that's not an official mode. So the colors look washed out no matter what I do to it. So that's why my TV was $400 instead of like $800. But the TV looks absolutely fantastic at normal 4K, normal 8-bit, you know, standard definition, whatever, standard dynamic range. So it still looks fantastic playing games in 4K, and the system is completely silent. So I've been fiddling around with that and getting games on there. So that's sort of been what my week or so has been like. I know Birdman also has the Division 2, and he's reviewing his copy. He's got also on the Xbox, so we're going to try to squad up a bit and just play around and see what we can do. And I'm capturing footage basically using Twitch, because I've never streamed before. So if you check me out on Twitch, it's DeathPhase, DethPhase underscore Twig, TWIG. So DeathPhase Twig, that's my... my, I guess, streaming handle now. And it's not that I'm going to be doing a ton of streaming. I might end up doing it more and more, but if I'm going to be reviewing the game anyway, I may as well stream. And then I have footage that I can use afterwards to use as B-roll if I want to throw our reviews on YouTube, as well as when we do it in the audio format. So that's something I'm just, you know, sort of dabbling in and seeing where that goes from there. So, you know, we've got a few other things on the go as far as other reviews and this. I've got a few indie titles that I'm going to throw in here as well that we were offered up to check out. And I know that the other boys have some stuff that they're working on. This is March break right now, so I believe I'm going to be doing some stuff with Birdman, at least. We're going to be checking out, as long as we can find the time and everything, we're going to be checking out, I believe, a tabletop war game that he was sent for review, which will be pretty cool. I've never played one of those before. So that's basically going to be what the show is. It's sort of probably about 5 or 6 reviews. I'll see, maybe more. It depends on how much I'm able to get in here. And I'm going to be releasing that soon. So without further ado, here is the first review. I've got a quick one here for you. Now, this is Caligula Effect Overdose, which is a remastered version of a Vita title that came out a few years ago to some critical acclaim, but nothing, you know, out of the ordinary. It was sort of, you know, a 6 or 7 out of 10 on most review sites. And this... I'm not going to be reviewing the game itself, because it's basically the same thing with some tweaks to sort of improve a few things, add a few little features here and there. So if you were thinking that maybe in the past that you've played it or thought about it, you're like, 6 or 7 out of 10, isn't worth it, add an extra point to that or so because of the enhancements that have been done here. The big thing here is that it's available on the Switch, you know, for... It was portable before on the Vita, but now on the Switch, it's opening to a much wider audience. And I think it's pretty good if you're going to be playing, you know, little... dungeon rounds here and there on, you know, say the bus or in the commute when you're, you know, taking transit or something, or maybe before bed you want to play a little bit. I find these kind of games work best in portable mode when I'm just sort of laying in bed and I'm wanting to just sort of wind down for the day. And this really filled the void where I was like, what am I going to play for the next little bit? I found myself drawn to it. The graphics are pretty good, especially considering it's a remastered Vita title. And the same goes for the audio. So it's got a bit of a bump there as far as quality goes. The gameplay, pretty fun. It's turn-based battles, you're dungeon crawling, you know, your standard anime sort of story where you're interacting with people. I found it to be pretty good. I'm not going to go into the story because it's, with RPGs, you're going to spoil everything if you do that. So I would say, personally, if you are a big fan of the style of RPG, the JRPG with the dungeon crawling aspects, it's worth picking up at full price. If you're somebody that's sort of on the fence about it, wait till it comes down in price a little bit, but it's not... you know, a bad value for, you get about 40, 50 hours or so out of it if you put in the time. So I would say, yeah, you know what? It's pretty good. Pick it up. That's the Caligula Effect Overdose from NIS America.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager, and that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
Braveland Trilogy is a collection of 3 mobile titles that are being packaged together and released on the Nintendo Switch, starting with Braveland, continuing on with Braveland Wizard, and then finally Braveland Pirate. And what are they? They're basically your standard strategy RPG games. On your mobile device, you point and click and sort of use your finger to control wherever it goes, and you get to use the physical controller on the Switch version. So it's your fairly standard style of game that way. It doesn't bring a whole lot of new things to the table, but it's a fun way to, you know, play a few minutes at a time, or maybe an hour or two at a time when you're just chilling, like on the commute if you're taking the bus or train or something to work, or before bed. I found myself playing it mostly to, you know, when I'm ready to go to sleep and I just want something to do to sort of engage my brain a little bit to tire myself out, and I had a lot of fun playing through them. You end up with a fair amount of value for the money, because you do get three complete adventures in one, so it's a complete series. And the graphics are what you'd expect from a mobile title, so it's nothing, you know, to write home about as far as, like, this isn't going to be like your Final Fantasy Tactics, no. But what this is a fun, charming, cartoony style that I found was very pleasing to the eyes, and there wasn't any color clashes or anything. The audio, same thing. You're looking at mid-range, probably on the better, higher end of quality for originally mobile titles, but the Switch is a great way to play, you know, all these things remastered and packaged together again into one complete package. And it's definitely something I would say check out on the Nintendo Switch store. It's not going to be too expensive, considering you're going to get three games in one.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Hold that thought. It's crapper time.
The accident comes to us from our friends at Welgo USA. And what is the accident? It is a new release. The film's actually from 2016, but it's just getting a Blu-ray release now, you know, in 2019. It's available March 19th. It's actually a pretty simple premise, but actually kind of horrifying in itself. It's, you know, what if a group of people are in a car accident and there's some horrible, basically horrible shit that can happen to them afterwards? So I'll give you the basic synopsis. There's four people. They end up borrowing a car for a night of fun. And after the violent crash, they discover that they're being stuck at the bottom of a ravine during like this really bad thunderstorm. And, you know, they're injured. There's other things going on that way. There's a psychotic guy who owns the vehicle, and there's stuff inside the vehicle that they're trying to get. And it becomes sort of like a survival horror. You know, usually these kind of movies are dealing with, like, zombies and that sort of stuff. No, this is very more, like, grounded in reality. And considering that all these actors are pretty much, you know, I would say nobodies as far as what you would have, you know, maybe heard of name-wise or not. Some of the actors have appeared in, like, Death Race 2 and, like, Death Race Inferno, which is, I think, the third or fourth film. As well as, like, Starship Troopers 3 Marauder. These are people that are, you know, used to doing direct-to-video movies. And this is one of those ones where it could have been released in theaters, and it probably would have done fairly successful at a wide release had it been marketed, you know, bigger, because I was kind of surprised that for being such a low-budget, like, South African-France co-production, it ended up being, like, really, really good cinematography-wise. The acting was good for all the actors that are not, again, they're not famous names or anything. The sound design was pretty good. It used the ambient effects of the storm and the chaos to its advantage. And I was going to say that it's something that, you know, would have been a big hit, let's say, late 90s, sort of that kind of disaster movie, but it's down to a smaller scale. It's a fairly bare-bones release, but you do get, again, really good visual quality with it. Very surprised by it. I would watch it again. It's one of those ones I'm probably going to end up watching with family, because I have family members that are really into the thriller end of the horrors. And it's something that I think they're really going to dig. It's out on the 19th. I would say it's definitely a rental if you can you know, get a digital copy that way to watch. And if you're a big fan of thrillers, it's one that you're going to want to pick up and put in your collection. Welcome Home is the brand new release starring Emily Radzinkowski and Aaron Paul from VVS Films. It's one of those classic horror movies where a couple goes to stay at a vacation home, and then they're terrorized by the owner, and it's your standard sort of fare. But it's actually a pretty well put together movie with a good atmosphere and like just good cinematography, good acting from all the leads. Surprisingly from Emily, because she's not really known for that. She's known for her big bazongas, if that makes any sense. but Aaron Paul turns in a great performance. He's been great ever since Breaking Bad, so. You know, you're not going to have to worry about, is it going to be a bland or boring movie, or is the acting going to be, you know, subpar? It's actually quite good, and I would have probably liked to have seen this in a wider release in theaters, but VVS is putting it out on Blu-ray, and as far as features go, there is a fairly extensive behind-the-scenes featurette that you can watch that gives you sort of in-depth insights into how the film was made. But again, it's very well put together from a cinematic point of view. The sound mixing's great. And it, of course, sort of, you know, like most horror movies or suspense thrillers like this, it does, you know, leave something open for a sequel or something down the line, maybe with, you know, different cast or even with the same, because I don't want to give too much away of the plot. It's going to be released in very soon, actually, so it's worth checking out. It's probably more of a rental for me. It's not something I would necessarily say you have to own, but it is something, you know, if you see it on digital or if you can find, you know, the Blu-ray fairly cheap, it's worth picking up as, you know, for somebody who's like a big thriller fan. But other than that, I'd say, you know, wait till it's a rental, you know, spend your $5-$10 on that, and you'll have a pretty good time.
Basically, use the geeks.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
Holy shit, you geeks are badass.
Remulor is the Dungeon Crawlers beat-em-up hybrid anime cutesy weird game released on the Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Xbox One from our friends at Nicalis. And I had an opportunity to review the PS4 version, and you're going to get the same experience basically across each platform, so that's not going to weigh heavily into the review at all. It's a very simple, easy-to-get-into RPG hybrid where you're basically hacking and slashing your way through each floor, and the faster you beat the enemies, the better score you get, which gives you a better chance to get better loot, which are generally different weapons. And the weapons can be anything from like ladles for soup to balloons, baseball bats. I ended up having a balloon, it said, I'm saying in quotes, that looked an awful lot like a sex toy. So it tickled my fancy and I laughed really hard at that. So I ended up using that for most of the game. Even when I started getting better weapons later on, I would always try to find the balloons, the balloon sword, I'm saying again in quotes. Think of that what you will. It was pink, long, and bouncy. So you play a girl that is at a sort of a magical academy. You find a book that is the grimoire, the ultimate grimoire, sucks you into this other world, and you're trying to escape together. And the book actually helps you by casting magical spells that you know, use mana that you then have to replenish. And it's your basic standard dungeon crawler. It's got some funny dialogue. The voices can get a little grating now and then because it's only in Japanese and it's a little shrill sometimes. So I you know, if you don't like that sort of thing, you can turn down the volume and listen to something else yourself. I found it was perfectly fine. I got used to it after about 10-15 minutes of hearing it. But again, that was a little grating on me because I'm not a big fan of shrill anime voices. Now, when you play through, you do level up and you get the ability to upgrade certain aspects of your character, like the ability to get better weapons, you know, better rolls on that, because it's basically random what you get every time you get a new weapon. So you also get to have different spells. The weapons activate different spells that can do vastly different things when you're playing. So basically, it's very simple. It's go through a dungeon, beat up a bunch of enemies, get a new score, beat up all the little things around you. Like, you can break apart different things within the actual world. So, like, anything that's on the wall, like, or chairs or garbage, anything around you, you can smash it to bits and you end up collecting points. And the points are then used to spend on getting better upgrades. And then you fight a boss, get a bit of story, move on to the next area. Very simple setup. Pretty fun. It's retailing a little less than retail price. It's not like a full retail game because I wouldn't suggest it if it was a full $80 Canadian game. It's depending on where you get it, it's about $10-$20 cheaper than that. So at that price point, it's probably worth it. And if you get it physical, you get a bunch of little goodies that you can always pick up from, you know, Amazon.com or .ca to check it out. I would say it's definitely worth it, and I can't wait to see what Nicalis has coming out next.
Those magnificent bastards!
Color me kooky, but something very odd is going on around here.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
Got a quick one here for you. Commander Keen. Now, that is a name that not everybody's necessarily going to be familiar with. Well, Commander Keen was a series of games released back in the old DOS PC era of the early 90s. I never really got around to playing them when I was a kid because we didn't have, like, I had a 286 and I wasn't really allowed to install anything on it. So I had heard of it and seen clips of it, but never really played it. So now Commander Keen and Keen Dreams has been ported to the Nintendo Switch. And you're going to ask, how does it play? You know, porting an old DOS game over to the Switch itself. I found it's pretty good. The controls are pretty smooth. It maps it quite well. You can actually change your control style. You can also change the audio to the original, I guess, speaker tunes slash like old ad-lib cartoons or a remastered soundtrack. It defaults to the remastered, but you can go back to the old for like a nostalgia trip. The interface is pretty easy to use. The gameplay is solid, and I didn't feel like controlling it, you know, like I was loosey-goosey or anything. So, again, it's pretty good. The graphics are basically exactly what they always were. It's just formatted now to fit your widescreen television. Now, audio-wise, again, just fine. It plays quite well, and I kind of hope that this is a trend that we follow in the future where more and more of these classic games get ported over, especially more of this era. You know, we've seen a lot of stuff from like the early Atari era or other 8-bit systems like the Commodore 64 get releases. And then you see a lot of stuff from the late 90s getting ported over, let's say like with goodoldgames.com to work on PCs. Or occasionally things ported to the Switch and other platforms. But not a lot of stuff from the late 80s to early 90s. So this, I hope, signals a trend to come. So I would say check it out on the Nintendo Switch, store and give it a whirl. So there you have it. That's everything this week. I've got a few more things on the go, and we're still always waiting for things to come in the mail, so I'm not going to speculate on what's coming just yet. Just that the big thing we're working on right now is The Division 2, because that's a pretty lofty game, and it's pretty hard to get through everything and review it just in 1 week. So we're hoping that this weekend's show will have it, but it may be something that comes out the week after, because we're going to need enough time to properly delve into it and really get into the nitty-gritty and make sure that we give it proper coverage. So we've got a few things on the go. Got a title in the works right now. Got a review code that came in for Our World Is Ended, which is a new adventure visual novel, sort of sci-fi type thing. So I'll be working on that, as well as I believe that my 2DS XL that was sent in for repair, it basically spontaneously combusted, and Nintendo said that they would fix it for me for my press copies, and it's finally after 4 or 5 months being sent back to me, and I'm told, fingers crossed, that they're holding a copy of the new Kirby game for it for me. So as soon as that comes in, I'll be able to review that, and that should be showing up on one of our future shows. I'm not sure exactly which one yet, but we've also got the coverage of the Xbox headsets from PDP that Mr. Christopher and Birdman are working on. So that should be here soon. I've also got a review copy of the Princess Guide. That review will come out end of the month or so. And I believe Birdman's got a few other things too. He's got a copy of the SNK Anniversary Collection that just was coming out for the PS4. I reviewed a copy on the Switch a while back, so he's going to see how it works on the PS4 for him. And then, we've got a few little feelers out there for some pretty cool stuff coming in. So we're just going to see where that leads us. And I'm going to be, going to Birdman's place again, like I said, to play some games. We're hopefully getting together to do more Cambridge Chronicles. It's just finding the scheduling is weird because Mr. Christopher works retail, and they've been giving him like 10-day straight shifts, mornings, nights, like everything. He's all over the place, so he needs a break. If it was just Birdman and me, or we'd be able to work something out. But Mr. Trister is such an integral part to the Cambridge Chronicles that we just can't. It's a 3-man team right now, so there's no way we can do it without him. We want to make sure he's well rested before we record anything. So we're hopefully getting together soon to record more. We've got a bunch of episodes in the can, and it's just a matter of editing it, and we're gonna be putting it out just like Birdman said, probably in the late spring or so. We'll start releasing them, and we want to have basically. To pull the curtain back a bit, we're doing a whole bunch of episodes on Shadowrun, and we want to keep this year's motif and theme science fiction, cyberpunky type stuff. So we're going to have some one-offs that go out there as well, and we'll have more news on that as we figure out our scheduling on that. And we're finally going to be recording the prototype that I've been trying to demand that we record for quite some time now. Again, we're trying to find a time where we're all together to do that. And I believe in the not too distant future, Birdman and I, or at least myself for sure, will be recording with Steve Megatron over at the Geekcast Radio Network. An update on the Future Imperfect podcast, because I've been, you know, knee deep in the Star Trek Discovery this season and the Orville, and Birdman just has to catch up. But we're ready to talk and ready to roll, because it's been, I would say, honestly, a much better year this year than it was last year for those two shows and Trek fandom in general. And I believe that also from the Geekcast Radio Network that Blanchard is trying to get us together to talk a little more WWE. I've been sort of burnt out for a while, but it's time that we catch up on a Mayhem Mikes episode. It's been since, I think, November since the Mayhem Mikes episode came out. So we're going to try to get those out more regular. And you can catch Birdman on Nerd to the Third Power. I think he's doing it weekly or biweekly with them. And we're going to be syndicating that on our podcast channels and everything so that you know where to go and listen to him, because that's a pretty cool group that he's going to be talking to, an international group of nerdy peoples. Okay, so I am gonna stop recording now because my brother's coming over and I think we're gonna watch the Orville and have submarine sandwiches. I don't know why I said submarine sandwiches the way I said that, but subs, yes, we're gonna have subs. Anyway, I'll talk to you later, people.
Well, that's our show. All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info and the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.
And what I want to know is, where's the cum?
Jesus Christ.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance. Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.